Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Welcome back to the No Laying Up podcast. We have Allison Lee and Bronte Law with us here at the Kia Classic. You guys, how long have you guys been friends?
Too long.
Probably almost like 5 years now, around 5 years. Because we met shortly, like right before we went into UCLA.
Yeah, we went to college, right? So probably 6 years now.
Almost 6 years.
Yeah. And where are you from, Bronte?
England.
Where in England?
Manchester.
Okay.
So I'm like big into soccer.
And so you guys knew each other before. You guys were roommates at UCLA, correct?
Yes, we lived together our senior year, our last year at school.
Okay. I'm fascinated to hear. You got a story already for us? Yes, come on.
No.
Yes, you were getting ready.
No. Let's just say, like, I'm surprised we haven't killed each other yet, but.
And why is that?
We both have, like, a strong kind of dominant personality, so we'd always butt heads. So obviously when you live with someone with the same exact personality, we would always fight all the time.
What do you fight about?
We don't even fight. We just talk to each other like we're fighting. And people think we're fighting.
Yeah, like if there's someone next to us.
You're like a married couple.
It's literally if someone's next to us listening to our conversation, they'll be like, geez, like, oh my gosh. They're okay. And I'm like, we're fine.
That's just how you get along.
That's how we talk every day. Yeah.
So I was always curious. So you went to UCLA. You started playing professionally. How do you balance a like class schedule with playing professional golf?
I mean, it was definitely really tough, but it was something I wanted to do. Like, I turned pro like December of 2014, so like right in the middle of sophomore year, like a week before finals. And I remember being so happy but so sad at the same time, and I knew right then and there that I just wanted to keep playing and continue to be in school as well. And so it was really hard. You know, people don't really believe it, but I do tell them, like, you have no idea how much I cried. Like, I cried all the time because I was so stressed out and gained a lot of weight. I got so fat. But but
that's probably from sprinkles more than anything.
Yeah, that's probably just from alcohol and eating.
Yeah, true.
At 2 a.m.
Alcohol and cupcakes.
So, you know, obviously what kept me going was having a lot of great friends, having support, and having that balance. Like, I liked having a life and something to go back to at home when I wasn't on the road. And I joined a sorority my junior year at UCLA. Don't go Delta Gamma. And I made a lot of great friends that literally knew nothing about golf, and now they all follow us. And I think it's just really cool to see. It's really funny, actually. When I joined the sorority, when I was going through Rush, I went through Rush like a normal student, and I didn't tell any of them I played golf. And it's funny because the day after you join a sorority, like, you get like 100 Facebook friend requests from everyone in the house. And so people started to get to know who I was, and like over a couple of weeks, you know, when I'd go to the house and stuff like that, meet more girls, one by one, a girl would be like, my dad knows who you are. And I was like, cool. And we had like a dad's day, like football tailgate or something. And there were a couple of like dads that were like, a couple of the girls like, my dad wants a picture with you. And I was like, okay. It was really funny. But like I said, I mean, going back to, you know, things like that really helped me going, you know, continuing to schedule everything. And yeah, it was hard. You know, Bronte did that like the last half of her year at UCLA.
Yeah, I don't know how she did it for like 2.5 years, because 6 months was enough for me.
Yeah.
Was it a main motivation for you to get a college degree?
Yeah.
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 Same,
I think,
for you?
Yeah. The fact that we'd started our journey, it was like, we've got to finish this, you know, and get our degree in the end. And once you've got it, you've got it, and no one can like take that away from you. So, you know, I think that's huge. And the fact that we did it together and walked graduation together was
I think that
really
was the main
cool
thing. You know, we wanted to graduate on time, like with our friends, walk graduation with all the other student athletes our year that we knew since freshman year. Yeah. So that was the main goal. Mm-hmm.
So what motivated you guys to turn professional when you did? I mean, it's kind of unique to women's golf. The careers tend to like trend younger. Is that a reason? Kind of like you're looking like, this is probably some of the prime years of my life. I'm ready to play professionally.
Yes. I feel like it's a timing thing. And I feel like it's the same for a lot of other sports like baseball or football, even basketball. I mean, any sport out there, because when you feel like you're playing well and time is right and you feel like your game is ready for the next level, then you just need to go for it and see. And that's what I did. Like, I had a really good freshman year at UCLA, and I just wanted to, you know, see what my game was like compared to the other pros. So that's why I played Q School as an amateur. And I feel like I said, a lot of other sports like that are like that. You need to take the opportunity when you can.
So. I was looking, you were a six-time first-team All-America.
Oh, that
with,
was
with AJGA.
Yes, that was the AJGA.
Six time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, I started young. Yeah, I started playing AJGA right when I was 12. I actually tried to play when I was 11 to try and play with older girls, but they were strictly like, "No, you can't. You have to be 12."
Stop and yeah, being so good.
How old were you when you started playing golf?
Around six. Okay. Yeah, I was 6 years old. I was
Bronte, I'm always curious to hear Europeans' first impression of the United States. So when was the first time you came and played golf in the U.S. and what surprised you? What's something that surprised you?
Well, the first time I came and played golf in the U.S. was probably Junior's Ryder Cup.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Where was that?
Curtis Cup.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm trying to... It was a U.S. amateur, actually, in Cleveland, Ohio, which, I mean... Not really gonna get.
You're
a great,
still like 17.
View of America.
That's actually a kind of a great view of America. It's normal.
Really? It's probably pretty similar to Manchester,
like LA,
right?
Like, you know, all
city.
The cool places.
Right.
But anyway.
But normal America.
Normal America. You know, I didn't get to see that much of it. It was a short trip. I was in and out pretty fast. I was there with my dad, but I knew as soon as I came, I was like, yeah, I like it here. You know, like the. Well, first of all, the fast food is like a big thing, you know, in America. It's everywhere. Everywhere.
Defines us as a culture. Yeah.
So that was the first thing I probably thought about. But then, you know, one of the other things, I think it's just the people out here. Like, I really like, you know, how optimistic Americans are in general. You know, in England, everybody just moans about how bad the weather is all the time. So, you know.
Especially in Manchester.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Especially in Manchester.
She also did say something the other day that I was very offended about. She was like, I forgot what company it was, but there was a L'Oreal or something, a hair product. We were watching a commercial or TV and a commercial came on about L'Oreal. And then she was talking about like, oh, like that's a French or European company. And I was like, oh, really? Like, I thought it was American. She's like, you Americans think you made everything, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, whoa, like, calm down.
So how'd you get to UCLA?
I knew I wanted to come to college from a very young age. You know, I spoke about it from like age eight nearly. Like, I'm going to go to America. I'm going to be like Tiger Woods. I'm going to go to college. Like, you know, I'm going to do all that. And then, you know, I looked into going to Stanford, and you know, then as the time came, you know, closer to deciding, UCLA reached out, and as soon as I visited, I was like, I'm gonna go here, you know, LA, like, yep, this is gonna be great for me, like, the lifestyle here, yeah. You know, the sunshine, beaches.
I almost feel like I'm in a foreign country when I'm out here in San Diego and LA.
Yeah.
I'm from the States.
It's amazing.
Did you find it hard to assimilate to American normal everyday life? No, it's pretty easy.
No, not really at all.
Do you have a story behind that or something else?
No.
I just made the most of my opportunity, I think, at college, whether it was playing golf, partying, or, you know, whatever.
We want to go for that second bullet, I think, more so than the first bullet.
Yeah, the golf part's just golf.
I know.
I feel like, you know, that was the main reason why I wanted to stay in school too, because, you know, obviously golf was my passion, golf was my career, but, you know, I wanted to have fun. I wanted to be in college. I wanted to live through this time of my life. You know, you hear everyone say college was the best 4 years of my life, and I wanted to, like, fully grasp that and live through that, and I feel like I got to do that.
I think we definitely did.
So how did that work from an academic perspective?
I mean, it was, like I said, it was definitely difficult. And for me, it was great because I was a communications major and there were a lot of girls in my sorority that were communications majors. So, all my classes, I had a friend or someone in there who can like send me notes if I was gone. Or
were professors pretty flexible? Or?
Some. It depended. Like,
not really as a whole, though.
I mean, as a whole, I mean, they, for the most part, you know, if you're a student, if you're a student athlete, you get a form, you know, giving you excused absences. Mm-hmm. So they can't fail you for something you missed because of an event. But for us, obviously, it's our own time. So, you know, if I was like, I'm going to be gone the next 2-3 weeks, they'd be like, what? And I'd be like, but, you know,
yeah, I'm going to Australia.
I'm traveling to go and play golf. They're like, I'm not giving you help.
Yeah. I actually, one professor, he wanted me to take, so he allowed me to take my midterm on the road. But I had to go and take it through this online program called Proctor U. And I had to take it on the same day, same time as the class. And this was during British Open. So I was like, we were in Scotland and I remember taking it like 3 or 4 a.m. in the morning.
Because you're 9 hours, nine hours ahead of the West Coast.
I remember taking it like super early in the morning and freaking out because the Wi-Fi at the hotel was shit. And like, it wasn't working, and I was, like, almost crying because we only had this certain window.
Was this on a tournament day, too?
Like, yeah, this was, like, Friday night.
Oh, my God. So,
and I was just, like, you know, it's 3 a.m, and I'm just, like, super emotional and, like, stressed out. And eventually I was able to take
and
it,
the
but
weather
it's just
was
the worst.
Really good yeah, windy,
that whole week
like,
was. It, I still remember. It
was where was Turnberry. It?
I remember buying
what
her.
What course was it?
It was Trump Turnberry.
Yes,
you came and
I remember
watched.
Buying her coffee just so she can warm her hands around it. She didn't want to drink it.
Oh, California! Yeah, California girl didn't
crying.
Like the no. West Coast of Scotland.
Yeah. I was in tears.
Yeah.
Had you played out there before?
No.
First
it was
time.
My first week there. Like she, I've played.
You're lucky
in...
she goes back after that.
Oh gosh! I was literally crying on the course. It was not a great week.
You cried on the course?
Yeah.
Just because of the weather, or how you played,
like,
or everything?
It was windy.
It was,
she wasn't really
it was
crying.
Windy. Like, it was raining, like, pissing sideways. Like, you know.
I mean, standard.
It's
like,
a British phrase. Yeah, she's learning.
Yeah. She is learning.
It pissing sideways.
Yeah. That was good. I'm
oh,
impressed.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
Proud of you right
it
now.
It was more like shitting sideways, but, I mean, it was, I don't like it.
It was bad, yeah, for
it was
sure.
bad, yeah.
And now the president is probably going to tweet at you because you because you criticized the band.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you're banned from my golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your first memory you have of Allison?
Oh, well, I mean, my first good one. I'm going to go with
first good one. Wow, okay. Mm. Big distinction
well,
there.
Well, okay, so I'm trying to think. Like,
it's probably Junior Ryder Cup.
Yeah, it was.
We didn't really talk that week,
no,
though.
No, we didn't.
All much. I know is, you're like, I remember us meeting, and she seemed like this very put together, like, British girl.
Can you do a
like,
British accent?
So,
you're getting close
no,
there.
No. I'm telling you right now,
I'm
she
not
cannot.
Bad, but, yeah, and, like, she was like, I'm going to UCLA. I was like, yeah, I know, like, and we talked for a little bit, but it was just, like, very on the surface.
Wait, you thought that I was just this really nice girl?
Yeah, because you're kind of quiet and like,
it's amazing.
You know, I don't know.
Do you still think she's a nice girl?
No.
Not really. Like she's more of a bitch. I would be like more of a bitchy British girl.
What's like the most you guys have ever gone at each other or the biggest fight, quote unquote fight you've had?
Probably like blacked out, so we don't remember.
Yeah, I was going to say, I definitely don't remember that. We'd wake up in the morning and we'd be like, morning, you know?
Yeah.
And probably neither of us would remember.
Yeah, that's the thing. We can probably have like the biggest fight ever like the night before and then we'll wake up and it's like, oh, let's go and get breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been countless times where, I mean, I don't even remember half the stuff that happens when we go out.
Yeah.
Was there tension, like Junior Ryder Cup or Curtis Cup?
No, definitely not.
Was there tension between the teams?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
No,
like,
not
there
really.
Was a little bit.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I don't
Well, obviously, you know, any team stuff. But at the end of the day, I would say there was less tension during Curtis Cup because that's when, like, both teams kind of knew each other more. And a lot of us were college students, so a lot of us had played
you mean,
through college.
You mean how I, like, came on your bus when you won and started celebrating?
Oh, yeah, like, when we won Curtis Cup, like, Bronte came onto our bus and, like, rode back with us, and we were playing loud music. We were all having a good time.
I made an executive decision at that point that I was going to have more fun.
I mean, because we're more fun, so. And because I was there.
No, you always want to hang out with the winning team. Like, obviously, they're going to have more fun.
All right, guys, you've heard us talk about the new Mac Daddy 4 wedges from Callaway and how they have set a new standard in wedge performance. They feature Callaway's new and proprietary Groove and Groove technology, which gives you shot-stopping spin around the greens and a fantastic shape, which is inspired by the tour. The news on this front is that Callaway has recently announced the addition of the MD4 Raw finish. This started out as a tour-only finish, but by popular demand, they have made it available to the public. These wedges are absolutely money, and through Callaway Customs, you can personalize your MD4s just like the tour pros. Through this Callaway Customs, you can add 7 different areas of your wedges that you can customize. Paint fill, weight, medallion colors. You can even throw in some custom stamping or symbols for good measure. We got a logo on one. I've got a tour sauce on my 52 degree, and I'm telling you, these things are perfect. Start designing your Mac Daddy 4 wedges now with Callaway Customs at callawaygolf.com/customs. Get the raw finish. I promise you will not regret it. Let's get back to Allison Lee and Bronte Law.
Yeah. So as much as you guys have talked about partying, was a lot of your reasoning to want to stay in school so you could finish 4 years of partying?
Yeah.
I mean...
Oh my gosh.
You can say yes.
Last year.
I would have stayed at fifth.
We spent it last year.
Yeah. Fun year last year was of my lit. Life. We had 3 bookcases, like, up to the ceiling.
Yeah, so, like, we moved into our apartment and our landlord left, like, 3 bookshelves. Like, up to
like 8 feet probably,
yeah,
like high, and there was about 4 or 5 rows and they were probably about 4 feet wide, and we filled all of them with empty vodka bottles.
That's so college. God, I've never felt so old in my life.
Case. Can we just talk about, like, you guys had money as college students.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my gosh, you don't even
feel a little bit dangerous, right?
So I turned pro middle of sophomore year, right? Yeah. I was still living in the dorms.
So we lived together that year too in singles. So we had a single room, which that was interesting.
Yeah. And so I remember, like, after getting my card, I went back to UCLA, like, went to my dorm, was, like, living in my dorm for, like, the next 4 or 5 months. And the following year,
that was an interesting night. Yeah, actually, and the following, when you came back.
Oh yeah. Okay, we can talk about that another time.
Bookmark that one. We'll come back to that one.
But actually, my junior year, so I decided to live with 4 girls, including me. So it's 5 of us, and like I was traveling a lot, so I was like, hey, I'm not going to be there very often, so I could just room with someone. So the rent's a little bit cheaper, and you guys, I'll leave it all up to you to look for an apartment. And I come back, and they're like, we found an apartment. I was like, great. Well, like, what is it? A freaking 2-bedroom, 1 bath with 5 girls.
And this bedroom was, like, the size of this
room. It's, like, half the size of this room.
And there was 3 girls.
And 3 of us, including
me. The beds were just all in a row, and you couldn't move.
And I was on a trendle bed.
It was like living in the dorms again.
I was on a trendle bed. And one of the roommates, one of the girls, she decides to turn lesbian over summer, and her girlfriend was over. All the time. So it was 6 girls in a 2-bedroom with 1 bath.
Are you thinking, like, all right, and like, I could do something different?
It's so funny because all year people would give me shit like, you're making money. Like, why are you living in a shithole? And I was like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, but then we lived it up the next year.
And then
we
the
got
next
a
year
it
was.
Ass place.
Yeah. Next year we had like valet.
We had
like,
chandeliers. Yeah. Like,
it was great.
It was 0 to 100. Like,
yeah, no, I could not walk around the apartment unless I had socks and shoes on. That's how gross it was.
Oh my God. So let's go take us back to the night she got her card.
Oh God. Do you even remember that night?
Yeah.
You do.
So
I basically
Monday,
had to carry her back to our apartment.
Or no, the dorms.
The dorms, yeah.
So the dorms, so we lived in a dorm called
Reber.
This wasn't that long ago.
Reber. Yeah. It's really freaking high up the hill.
UCLA campus is like super hilly. Mm-hmm. So Reber is probably the top of the top of the hill. And we decided to live there.
Yeah. And so like Sunday, I got my card. Monday, we had like rookie orientation or whatever. And then I flew back Monday night.
We went out Tuesday.
And
right?
There was like a USC, UCLA athlete party or whatever. And we were planning on going out, but like I had just arrived and I landed late. I didn't even have dinner.
Monday?
It was a Monday night.
Really?
I still remember this. And then, yeah, I was dehydrated. I didn't have any dinner. I show up to the dorm. They're like, congrats, blah, blah. And
here's
I'm like,
a shot.
Yay. I was like, thanks, I'm going to bed. They're like, no, you're going out. And I was like, I am dehydrated and have no food in my stomach. Like, I am going to die.
So I gave
they're like, yeah, like, take a shot.
Yes, so I gave her a shot.
And so I drink and I... like, I don't remember what happened after that. I remember throwing up out the bus.
I had to, yeah, I mean, then you kind of fell into a bush when you got out of the bus, and I had to pick you up and, like, kind of help you. I mean, both our shoes
were off. I woke
up
with my pajamas on, like,
oh, yeah,
in
so
my
the best
bed.
Part is
my dress was
so
hung.
She pukes in her hair, so I then have to shower her when I get back because I'm like, I can't just leave you with puke in your hair.
Professional athletes. So they're just like us.
So I shower her. And she's just not helping at all. She just sat in the shower. I'm like, this is not okay right now. So anyway, I wash her hair and everything and put her pajamas on and put her in bed. So yeah, of course she wakes up the next morning. She's like,
I feel great.
Fine.
I was like, I feel great. Like my dress
like,
is hung.
I slept on your floor because I thought you were gonna die to make sure you were breathing. So yeah, that was quite an interesting night.
So Allison, I can tell that you sent it last year. Just looking at your results, your rookie year versus.
Oh yeah.
It's like it got.
Yeah,
you had
a
really good year. Your rookie
spiral.
Year.
Then, yeah.
The performance drinking wise though is just at its peak right now.
Strokes gain. Strokes gain drinking went through the roof.
At least 4 or 5 strokes gain.
So does this still happen on the road when you guys are no longer at school?
We don't drink anymore.
I mean,
yeah,
it
what's
was
the party saying.
I mean, but it was Bronte's birthday a couple weeks or last weekend, and it was my birthday the week before, and then I didn't play Singapore, so I was off that week, and then the week before Arizona, we were off, so we had like 2 weeks off, which was nice. And Bronte came to LA. We spent like I did like my birthday week in LA, and then we did like a birthday week in Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's home base.
It
for
was
you.
Very tame.
Scottsdale.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a very tame weekend. Not much.
Yeah.
Going
Bronte
on.
Only blacked out like for 3 days. It's fine.
Where do you play at in Scottsdale?
Gainey Ranch.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how often do you get back to Manchester?
Never.
Never.
No. Home is Scottsdale now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your family comes and visits you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. My
yeah,
mom.
Her
was,
mom. Her mom
my
was
mom
there.
Was...
Her mom was blacked out for 5 days in a row. So she's great. Her family
genetically,
is just genetically.
I'm on form for a great future.
Have you guys ever been hungover for a tournament round?
Are
we not
only
talking
once.
About this?
Only once.
Okay.
And I shot 3 under.
There you go.
I shot 4 under.
Oh yeah. Saturday.
Actually, this past,
no, Sunday.
Yeah, this past
Sunday. It was St. Patrick's Day.
I couldn't resist. Yeah. I mean, I went out for a casual drink, and it was just supposed to be. Casual drink.
A bit of a drink, as they would say.
And then I woke up. Well, I didn't. I got home at 2 a.m.
Yeah. Is that on
what
your,
time was your tea time?
Still there on your neck?
I don't know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
So it was a rough night, yeah. And I wake up in the morning and I fat my first 3 shots on
Did
the
you
range.
Really? Oh, on
I'm
the range.
Thinking, today's going to be interesting. But anyway, it worked out really well. I guess it calmed my nerves or something.
What time was your tea time?
10:30.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No. Yeah. Like 3-4 hours sleep. It's fine.
That's all you need.
I'm really hesitant to get into golf questions. There's way more interesting stuff. But.
So, so where did you guys, at UCLA, what was your home course for UCLA?
We had a lot.
Well, yeah, we had a couple. I mean, one of them, Wilshire, when they have that event now, the LA Open, which is really cool that we get to go out there and play. And then Bel Air Fridays. That was always interesting after going out on a Thursday night.
Frat Thursdays.
Yeah.
What were frat Thursdays?
Like all the frats have something on Thursday.
Yeah. So it was like student night. So we'd always go out on a Thursday.
And then Bronte never took her makeup off before bed. And coach would be like in the morning, oh, where were you last night?
Yeah, she knew every time. 7 a.m. we had to meet on Friday. So that was... Yeah.
7 a.m.
Yeah,
and you're going and playing like a top 100.
Yeah, I know. We're just like, we don't want to be here.
See, that's that experience paid off when you were actually hungover for a round. You had experience in this.
I trained myself. I've trained myself in more than one area. So that I can perform under pressure and also being hungover.
Yeah.
Was there much of a transition for you guys from amateur golf to professional golf? I mean, was your routines change and everything? Did you find that challenging in any way?
I think so. I mean, like playing amateur golf and college golf, we played maybe 10 events a year. And then coming on tour, we play over 20. So, you know, it was just tough, like all of a sudden, literally playing every week and like making sure you're ready to go every single week. And sometimes, you know, you weren't always as ready as others, but you had to be. And so mentally and physically, it was just a big kind of like, here you go, like you're a pro now, you need to be ready to play golf.
And I think as well, it's the fact that you have to take yourself accountable, you know, it's all you now. You don't have a coach telling you, like, be here at that time. Like, you need to figure out, you know, yourself, what time to be there and, you know, how much work you need to put in instead of someone telling you how much work to put in. So I think it's just a different whole kind of learning experience. I definitely think last year for me, you know, I learned a lot in terms of figuring out what was best for me as opposed to seeing what other people are doing, because everyone does their own thing. And you know, there's not one, you know, like route to success. It's like everyone does different things for them. And I think for me, that was probably the biggest challenge, was figuring out exactly what, you know, I should do.
I feel like a lot of the ladies out here play 30, 32, 33 weeks a year. Is that something that you guys plan on doing, or is that just too much?
I want to play as much as possible. Yeah. I mean, I really enjoy competing. Like, that's, you know, really why I play golf. I was always, like, very competitive as a child, and even now. you know, everything is a competition. But so for me, I love that. So I want to play, as long as I'm healthy, as much as I can. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Like, definitely it gets hard sometimes. Like, you need to make sure you're aware of your body and you're aware of, you know, what your game is like, and, you know, if you want to go home, if you want to keep playing. And so for me, I've found that, you know, you kind of found a routine. Like, I know my rookie year, I tried to play as much golf as I could, and it was a lot, but now it's like, okay, I want to be able to be home for at least, you know, this amount of time. So I'll play.
You want to kind of set it up in blocks, right?
Exactly. So I'll play 3-4 events, and then I would want to go home.
Party.
No.
We keep coming back to that.
So, you know, and I, like I said, I really kind of cherish and, you know, it, like, would want to go back home and see my friends and family, because that's really important to me. So, you know, I try and, you know, play as many tournaments as I can, but also kind of try and make sure I find that time for myself and, like, to go back home.
Where's home for you now?
Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why do you laugh when you say that?
I don't know. I just,
it's,
I mean,
perfect for a party lifestyle.
No, I just, well, I'm obviously, I'm an LA girl, and I always will be. And I find myself going back to LA. Like, I'm in Vegas, but I'm honestly never there, because I go back to LA all the time. But I'm trying really hard to base myself more in Vegas. And it's kind of weird to say this, but like, being in Vegas is actually less distracting than being in LA, because all my friends are in LA. Yeah. And
you can get work done in Vegas.
Exactly. And a lot of my friends, like, don't play golf. They just work. So every weekend they're like, let's go out. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I can't resist.
You get roped in. Yeah.
You probably get that a lot too. People are like, oh, Vegas, that must be insane. But you probably have, like, a kind of a siloed life while you're there.
Well, I think if we live that together, it would be a disaster.
Yeah. No, we cannot live together ever again.
Do you guys room together on the road at all? Or does anybody? Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, all the time?
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah. Well, not this week.
No.
But we've already roomed together a couple times this week. Yeah. Yeah. But like I said, not too much, because we will kill each other.
Practice rounds together,
too. Yeah, we freaking, she wanted to play at 7 a.m. this morning.
And you wanted to party last night?
Early, right?
No.
What's
it's a Monday. Come on.
What, I mean, the LPGA Tour is a worldwide tour. What are your, like, favorite places to go? And for what reasons?
That's a good one. I really like the tropical destinations we have, like Hawaii and the Bahamas. Those are always fun. Yeah.
Although the Bahamas wasn't all that tropical this year, right?
It was
just like 60 mile an hour.
A lot of wind.
Windy.
But, you know, obviously, like, being on the beach, it's nice. I love this West Coast swing just because it's so close to home. And a lot of our friends and family are here, so they could come out to watch and I could see them, which is nice.
We have a really good schedule this year for, like, the West Coast, which is really fun.
So for me, I would say this time of the year is always my favorite.
Do you guys treat this part of the season any differently with major season about to start? Do you try to get your game peaking at the right time, or is it kind of just trying to get it to peak period?
I don't know. I just feel like golf in general is just a mental game. So, you know, whether you're playing a major, whether you're playing a smaller event, or whether you're playing a practice round, I feel like you kind of have to treat it all the same and kind of go into all of them with the same mindset. And so I don't really have like a particular schedule or a way that I train that, you know, gets me to peak. I know some players do that. But yeah, I just try and, you know, treat every tournament as if it were the same. Yeah.
You, Bronte?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
You know, I think obviously, you know, this stretch, like, you do have to maybe, you know, think more about, like, resting a little, you know, not pushing yourself too much with, obviously, a week before a major. But I wouldn't say that I treat it really any different, other than I'm just conscious of the fact that I don't want to burn out. So, you know, I'm not practicing for 8 hours a day or anything, you know, just doing what I need to do to prepare, like, for the week, basically.
Yeah, because a lot of people have said, you know, like, this is a marathon, like, playing almost all year round and playing that many events for the whole year, you know, you kind of have to pace yourself. You don't want to just be grinding all, you know, for the beginning of the season, and then just kind of at the end of the season just being way too tired and
get burned
injured.
Out and injured, yeah.
What, as far as the LPGA schedule, do you ever get frustrated playing in the States because it's such a different game than what you grew up playing in England?
Not really, actually. I think coming over to college was partly, you know, one of the reasons I did it, was to learn how to play like American style golf courses.
Kind of target.
Yeah, because my goal was to be on the LPGA, and the LPGA is based out here, so I needed to figure out how to, you know, play American style. And honestly, college was the best way for me to, you know, prepare myself for that. And, you know, I owe a lot to, you know, the coaches at UCLA for, you know, giving me that opportunity and letting me go there, because I really did, you know, start to, you know, perform a lot better when I came to the States. And also when I went home, I was playing, you know, well, even better as well. So, you know, I definitely prefer playing golf out here for sure.
I read that you won the English ladies amateur by 16 shots.
Yeah. It was a good event.
16 shots.
Yeah. I got the course record, and they actually gave me a honorary membership at the course.
Where was it?
At Hunstanton. It's in, like, Norfolk.
Okay.
So I've never been back because it's about 5-hour drive from where I live. So, but, you know.
Thanks.
You need it.
The membership.
So, all right. So how many shots were you up after each round?
I'm not sure, actually. Honestly, after I shot the 8-under, there was no looking back. Like, I was just keep going.
Like, it's in the bag.
You're just competing against yourself.
Yeah, further and further. I actually, each day I would say, okay, you need to shoot, you know, this many under, you know, just to kind of keep myself being motivated to,
Do you guys have anybody out on tour that you've either played with or kind of has mentored you since you've been up here, or somebody that you've really learned a lot from in your time as a professional?
I would say me personally, like Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
I met Michelle when I was 14, I think, at my very first U.S. Open, and I loved her. You know, the fact that she graduated from Stanford, I really, really looked up to that, and meeting her and getting to know her, like, I've just loved who she is. She's been so nice, and, like, she was the one mentoring me, especially my rookie year, like, when I played the Solheim Cup 2. She was always there for me and kind of guiding me, and so, you know, I feel like for me, she was one of my biggest cheerleaders, but also someone that I look up to, yeah.
What was the Solheim Cup experience like?
Well, a lot went on that week.
Well,
just a lot went on that week because, I don't know, like, that's right before school started. Like, I was sick that week. I had, like, a weird food poisoning thing. So I was, like, throwing up and shitting, like, before. I missed the opening ceremony. And then
it's a nice imagery.
Like, well, and I was, like, literally eating crackers and sitting in bed, like, the first half of the week. And then I was just so nervous. And I was the only new one. You know, pretty much the whole team was the same from the previous Solheim Cup except me.
And you're a rookie on tour.
Yeah. And so I just felt kind of out of place. Like, I was already really nervous. Like, I was sick.
That can't help with the shitting being that.
and I don't know. And that's why for me, like, you know, Michelle was really there for me. And she really helped me out a lot that week. And yeah, obviously, you know, playing and then the whole thing happened
Don't rush past that because it's been, we're a few years removed from it, so people may forget about it. Yeah. And walk us through, remind us what happened.
Well,
it's okay to talk about now, right?
Yeah, I guess. Like, yeah, so I mean, so basically, what we were on 17, and it was best ball. So Brittany hit her drive in the water. So I was like, great. Well, anyways, no, it was fine. She was a great partner. Like we were playing really well, and then. I had a good drive, good second shot. And then Suzanne and Charlie both had a birdie putt just outside me. So they both missed. And then I was the last one to putt. And I believe we were, I want to say like all square. I think we were all square. And I had to make this to go one up and go into the last hole. And then I still remember it was like a right to left putt. And I think, I don't remember. But I know I missed it.
Really?
And then... You know, obviously we're in Germany. Everyone's cheering. They're like, yeah, like, you know, you, like, good thing you missed it or whatever. And then I thought I heard, like, you know, obviously I'm really upset. And I thought I heard that's good. And I kind of heard, you know, people walking away. So I didn't even think twice. So when I picked it up and Suzanne was like, I didn't say that's good. So for me, it wasn't even like, oh, shit, I picked it up. It was just like, what are you talking about? Like, I heard you say that's good. And she's like, no. And I was like, okay, what do I do?
And then you can really say.
I was like, well, I'm sorry, like, I thought you said that's good. And then we looked at our rules official, and he was like, well, she didn't concede the putts, it's a one stroke penalty. And then obviously I was just like, okay, like, I was just so in shock. And then mm-hmm. we were just like, okay, let's go to the next hole. And then we lost, whatever. Like, I was really mad after the round. Like, I just cried. I think I was more sad than mad.
Yeah, you had a really ugly picture.
But what? Okay. Yeah, great picture. But but actually,
I have that one saved.
Okay, good for you.
So you're just sitting back in LA.
I have
LA,
a lot
like...
of great pictures of you too. So just make sure you know that. But anyways, so I actually feel bad because the media bashed Suzanne for what she did. But I'm more upset at our rules official. So I looked back at the rules. So basically, if there's a misunderstanding for a conceded putt, then you replay it without just penalty.
Hmm.
And he told me that it's a one-stroke penalty.
Interesting.
And so, like, looking back at it, like, I'm so upset at our rules official. I'm not going to say his name. He's still out here. But,
I'm sure,
like,
everyone else knows.
I'm sure. But that's the thing. A lot of people don't know. It's like they don't know that, like, it should have been a different ruling, right. And it could have been a different outcome.
Would she have made you putt it, or was it just that
she hadn't gotten to giving it to you yet? No, she said, I didn't give you that putt. And so I think if, based on the rules, I would have just placed it where it was. Mm-hmm.
In your mind, was it a foregone conclusion that it was a gimme?
I mean, I thought she said that's good, and it was very close. I mean, it was like a tap-in. But obviously, you know, when you're under pressure like that, sure. I guess, whatever. But
I understand why, but when I initially asked about it, you kind of like rolled your eyes about the Solheim Cup. You guys won the Solheim Cup.
I know,
like,
we did.
It was exciting.
It was awesome. It wasn't awesome, but like I said, it was just a weird week for me because it was like I was new and I was everywhere. and I was crying and I was in a foreign country. Yeah.
And how old were you?
19? I was
20. 20, okay.
Going back to the 2014 or the 2009 U.S. Women's Open.
Oh yeah.
Like you're 14.
I was 14. Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking to Danielle Kang earlier. She was 14 playing in her first, and she said she didn't even really grasp that it was the U.S. Women's Open.
Oh my gosh, I still remember every moment of
it. But you had a different experience.
Yeah.
Right?
So I was like when I was 14, I still like braces, like 100 pounds. My dad was
Your
caddying.
Your ass was like inverted.
I had an inverted ass. Thanks for the reminder. I'm Asian.
Got brought to here just to roast here.
Asian.
That's love this.
I'm sorry, I don't have a butt. But
it's fine, not everyone can.
It's actually a funny story. My mom, I was practicing on putting green, and my mom said she was kind of watching from outside the ropes. And there were a couple girls that were, you know, there with girls golf. They were kind of there waiting for signatures and stuff. And a couple of them were probably older than me. And so I was putting, whatever. And my mom comes up to me later and she says that, oh, she was just laughing. And I was like, what's so funny? And she goes, you know, those girls that were standing next to me. I was like, yeah. Apparently they were like looking at me. They're like, who's that girl? Like, she's so young. Like, what is she doing here? Oh, she's probably just like a member that doesn't know what's going on and just practicing on the putting green.
Gosh.
And then like after, so, and then I walked up to my mom and I was like, okay, like, mom, let's go to number one. And then the girls were just like in shock, because first of all, they were saying all this shit in front of my mom. So they knew she heard everything they were saying. And second, like, I'm not a stupid member who's just like putting around, but I was just like a little kid. And I remember Ani played that year too. Uh-huh. And I remember being in the locker room and like Lorena passed by and me and Ani like watched her walk by like this. And we were both like giggling when she walked past. Yeah. And she like looked back like, haha, like, yeah, I'm like Lorena Ochoa. Yeah, so that was really cool.
And you finished tied for 26th.
Yeah, that was fun week. Yeah, that was really cool.
And great course too, soccer.
Yeah, great course. And I remember hitting like driver 3-wood every hole because I didn't hit it anywhere. I don't know how I played that well.
Well, you are 100 pounds.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and no ass apparently.
Didn't put your inverted ass into it.
Yeah, you could not use.
Yeah, no power in my glutes. So.
I want to do some best and worst that you guys have seen from each other. So like, what's the? I was thinking golf related, but now literally just spit your water out. What's the worst shot you've ever seen Bronte hit?
Worst shot?
Yeah.
She's so good. I don't know if I've ever seen any worst shots. I can't think of any. I really can't think of any.
What about the best shot?
Best shot. I mean, every shot's a great shot. She's a great ball striker. Look at how great of a friend I am.
I know. Come on. So let's nice. Keep. I'm trying to give you a.
I feel like the positivity is only going one direction.
I know exactly the best shot I've seen her hit.
I'm trying to give you a chance to roast
her. What was
her
the best
back,
shot?
Best shot was last year when I went and watched you at the A&A. And you hit that 3-wood on the 18th hole to 2 feet.
Yeah.
And tapped in for
that.
Eagle. And you made that putt.
Yeah,
like
that
a
shot
ton
gave
of money.
Me some extra yeah. dollars.
That was a sick
that.
Shot.
Do you guys have like a favorite story about each other? You have something because you just, whatever you
I
just
have
did
too
with
many.
That water. Yeah,
I don't have one. But I do want to share this one.
Yes.
It's not bad though. This isn't bad. Really? So Bronte, this is our freshman year. Bronte still doesn't have her driver's license in the U.S. She has not driven on the left or the right side of the road from the normal car. So
it's much harder to get your driver's license in the U.K. though, right?
Oh yeah, in America you could do the test with your eyes closed and pass.
Yeah. And so, so we carpooled a lot. And I remember she
was my chauffeur, basically.
Yeah. So I remember she wanted
to. Which you needed in LA,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So she needed to practice driving or whatever, and she hadn't done it yet. And we were trying to figure out a day to do it. But anyways, we had finished practice. We were driving back to campus. I think there was a basketball game or something. So it was very packed. I mean, especially during rush hour or during a basketball game, it'll take like an hour to go 5 miles. Sometimes after practice on Tuesday afternoons, it would take forever. But I remember we were driving back to campus. We were driving through campus, and we were, like, not moving at all. And I had to pee so bad. Like, I just had to pee so bad, and I don't know what was going on. Like, at that time in my life, I peed every hour. But, like, I just had to pee so bad, and I knew we weren't going to be able to get to the parking lot and park my car for at least another 30, 40 minutes. And we're in campus, and I was like, oh, fuck it. I was like, Bronte, get in the driver's seat. I'm going to run out there and pee in a bush.
I'm
and
like,
I'll be back.
No, this is a terrible idea. I'm like, get in the car.
Like,
and before I can
license.
Say anything,
she's like,
she's
no.
like, the door's open and she's running in a bush and I'm sat in the seat and I'm going, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I literally just left the door open, sprinted into the bush
and then, of course,
to pee.
The traffic starts moving.
Yeah. And I'm peeing there in the bush. I'm like looking like, and I see Bronte like.
I run around the back
there's
of
like,
the car.
Yeah, so she gets, and then there's like all this room in front of the car because the traffic was moving and I could see her in the driver's seat like going like this, like figuring out like what to do, and I'm just like, just freaking drive, and like the car started honking at her because she like literally could not figure it out.
I was like, what is this? P PG.
Yeah, she's like, I'm on the left side. Like, I don't know. And then finally she drives up and it was probably 20 or 30 yards. Yeah. And then I finally run back. Yay, your first experience driving.
I never want to do that ever again.
Did you grow up driving manual entirely?
Stick shift.
Yeah. So you didn't know, literally didn't know how to drive automatic, which is...
I was like, what is
this? Yeah.
It was bad. Yeah.
And do you have a favorite one of Allison?
Actually, Allison wasn't even there for this funny moment, but she was very much involved. So it was actually St. Patrick's Day last year, and she wasn't in town. And so our other two roommates were...
Katie and Mari
were, we were all going to go out for St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. So it's the weekend before spring break. So they were both about to go to Cabo for spring break.
Oh, so this was Arizona. I was in Arizona.
Yeah. And so one of the girls, she was getting a new driver's license.
I remember.
She was getting a new driver's license. And so she had to take her passport out with her because she didn't have it. So we are having a pretty good time. We end up going to this club in Santa Monica, and we have one of the guys on the football team gets a table, so we have bottle service, and I'm pouring the drink, so I'm partly to blame for all of this. But anyway, I'm pouring quite heavily on the vodka and the vodka cranberry, and Katie, one of the girls, just all of a sudden hits the deck and is like, I need to leave, walks outside. So I rush off out to find her, leaving Mari inside. Katie is sat on the step on the road, just puking everywhere. And I'm like, you cannot sit on the side of the road in LA. You are straight up going to get hit by a car. Anyway, it was at probably 2:30 a.m. at that point, and I wanted to go back in to get Mari because I had no idea what sort of, state she was in at that point.
Yeah, and there's no service in this bar.
No. So I couldn't call her, so I had to go back in. Anyway, of course, the bouncer wouldn't let me go back in. I'm like, my friend is in there and I can't get hold of her. I don't know what to do. So Katie is like, we have to leave. She was really bad. So I make an executive decision, which was clearly the wrong one at that time, to leave Mari and take Katie home.
Then the second part, I'm in Arizona. This was Friday night?
Yes. And it's 3 a.m.
I'm getting a FaceTime call at 3 a.m. And I was like, oh God, who is it? Is it? And then it's Mari calling me. So I answer the phone. I'm like, hello. And
she's blacked out.
Oh my God. She's like crying, bawling, crying. She's like, Bronte left me. She's like, and I lost my wallet.
I can't find my
passport.
Yeah, she had a phone, but
she's crying.
Passport, everything.
And then I wake up. I'm like, oh my gosh. Because when we go out, we never leave each other. Like, no matter what. Like, okay, you want to go home with a guy? Like, okay, but that's fine. But we won't leave one person alone.
No.
And so she's crying and crying. So I'm like, I get pissed. So I call Bronte, and this is 3 a.m. I had to play the next day. It's 3 a.m. And I'm like, Bronte, what the fuck? Like, why did you leave Mari at the bar by herself? And you're like, I had to take Katie home, blah, 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 blah. And I was just so mad. I was like, fuck it, whatever. So I hang up on her. She tries calling Mari. Mari's mad, so doesn't answer the phone. And then I was like, because this is in Santa Monica. So it's a lot of sketchy people are there. And, she's by herself. And
she gets a guy to buy her a Big Mac because she doesn't have a wallet.
And then she's, texting me. She's like, I don't have my wallet, and there's a McDonald's here. I'm so hungry. And I'm like, well... And she couldn't even, call an Uber or something. I think something was wrong with her Uber.
I called her an Uber. Yeah.
Yeah, and so she was talking to me, texting me. I was making sure she was okay. She's like, I met this nice guy at McDonald's. I was like... And she was drunk, so I was like... Send me a picture. So she sends a picture. She's eating. She's sitting at a table eating with this guy. She doesn't know him. And I was just oh my freaking God. She this was happening all 3 a.m. in the morning.
So Katie and you and Mari all had this obsession with Taco Bell. Obsessed. So Katie is...
I think we've all been there.
Yeah. Katie is blacked out. And she's like, I just need Taco Bell. I'm like, okay, I'll order you Taco Bell. So I'm ordering Taco Bell and Postmates, and it's coming out to be $20. I'm like, really?
Just fuck it.
I'm like, whatever. So I order it, and then I get home, and Katie's like, when is my Taco Bell arriving? I'm like, it says it's going to be here in 10 minutes. Anyway, there's a knock at the door, and it's Mari with a Taco Bell in her hand. And I'm like, why do you have Taco Bell? She's like, well, this guy was knocking on the door for like 10 minutes, but none of you were responding with your Taco Bell. I'm like, well, mine isn't here. Katie had ordered Taco Bell herself, also $20 worth. So we had $40 worth of Taco Bell.
It's a lot of Taco Bell.
Yes. And she passed out, so didn't even eat it. So Mari was just eating everyone's Taco Bell when
after
she came
eating
back.
McDonald's.
Yeah. So that's probably the most memorable because of how
I was so
like
mad.
The fact that Allison had to play the next day and she was still
dealing with it from
Arizona, which is such an Allison thing, you know? Like,
I was like,
she's
the mom.
Always dealing with everything, like all the problems, and that was the epitome of it because she was like, you know, 300 miles away and was still dealing with it, you know? Like,
Can we party with you guys, by the way? this is the least amount of golf we've ever talked on this podcast, but it's
probably... Yeah, I had all these questions you wanted, like, at Nanea. In Hawaii. I was going to ask about that. I was going to ask about all the golf courses in L.A.
We both won in Nanea.
You won twice, though.
No, I won Stanford, like, three times the year after you won.
Important to note that despite all these party stories, these ladies are very, very good
you
at
hold
golf.
You're tied for the UCLA record for...
Not anymore.
Most one of the girls broke it recently, a couple weeks ago. Cool.
So you won seven times, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then...
I won four in like a year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So, all right, well, that is all the time we have. Thank you, girls, for joining. This was awesome. So much fun. You guys are good storytellers. Really appreciate it. So, thanks for coming on, and best of luck this week.
Thank you.
Kevin, don't kill me. Sorry.
Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yeah! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!